Section 2. The First Truly Urban Places Develop. As you read, look for North Carolina's Change to a More Urban State, The Effects of Urbanization, and the following terms: Metropolitan, Urban Sprawl, Urban Renewal, and Franchise. North Carolina's towns date back to the early 1700s, and a few of its towns became small cities by the late 1800s. But it was not until the late 1900s that North Carolina became metropolitan. A metropolitan area has a concentration of people, jobs, services, and entertainment. After 1970, more North Carolinians lived in these areas than in their traditional crossroads hamlets, mill villages, or small towns. Metropolitan areas in the state. During this period of change, Charlotte even tried to call itself Metrolina. The nickname, a blend of the words metropolitan and Carolina, signified that Charlotte was also growing into South Carolina. Charlotte had been the first city in the state to gain more than 100,000 residents during World War II. By 1970, Charlotte, Winston-Salem, Greensboro, and Raleigh all had at least that many people. Over the next 20 years, many of these cities did not grow that much, but the areas around them more than tripled in size. Many new residents and children of old residents preferred to live in nearby suburban towns like Cary or Clemens. Cary, just to the southwest of Raleigh, had the most amazing growth rate of all. Fewer than 5,000 people lived in Cary in the 1960s. By the late 1990s, its population approached 80,000. Overall, a new urban awareness had developed. More than 1 million people lived close enough to Charlotte to regard it as their home city. Groups of 1 million or more were sprawled into other recognized urban centers: the Triangle of Raleigh, Durham, and Chapel Hill, and the Piedmont Triad of Greensboro, Winston-Salem, and High Point. These urban areas in the Piedmont copied the trends of city growth elsewhere. Cities spread outward from downtowns and took over farmland. On the edges of each of the cities were built new subdivisions and shopping centers. In the early 1970s, South Park Mall in Charlotte, Haynes Mall in Winston-Salem, and Crabtree Valley Mall in Raleigh were at the edge of the cities. Because of urban sprawl, unplanned, uncoordinated spread, downtown areas rapidly declined because major stores like Belk relocated to the malls. In addition, federal projects aimed at urban renewal, the replacement of rundown city buildings, led to the demolition of poor neighborhoods that used to be on the edges of downtowns. Much of Hayti in Durham and Brooklyn in Charlotte were razed, knocked down, by the late 1960s. The state also contributed to the sprawl of urban life by building newer, improved interstates farther away from the downtowns. Along the interstates and the multi-lane highways that took motorists to the interstates were fast food franchises, which began to appear in the 1960s. A franchise is a business granted a special right to sell a product or service in a certain area. One of these franchises, Hardee's, had been founded in Rocky Mount. One result of North Carolina's development as an urban state was the gain of professional sports teams. The state had long been home to minor league baseball teams, and hockey teams had competed in Charlotte and Greensboro. The lack of one urban center led to a 1968 attempt to have a major league basketball team, the Carolina Cougars of the American Basketball Association, rotate playing in Raleigh, Greensboro, and Charlotte. That lasted a few years. The rapid growth of Charlotte gained the Queen City a short-lived team in the World Football League. By the 1980s, however, Charlotte was big enough to become home to a National Basketball Association team, the Charlotte Hornets. They stayed for more than a decade. Then the team, and the nickname that went back to the American Revolution, moved to New Orleans. In 1995, the National Football League awarded Charlotte the Carolina Panthers franchise. Effects on small towns. The urban sprawl of North Carolina's metropolitan areas did more than just take up land. A tremendous amount of shopping and entertainment became available within a day's drive. Over time, the rise of metropolitan areas closed most of the shops and stores that were the mainstays of small towns. Very small towns like Bethel in Pitt County lost most of their businesses in less than a decade. One by one, hardware stores went out of business as residents drove to bigger towns to shop at Lowe's, a giant home improvement supply business that started in North Wilkesboro. In the smaller towns, their family-owned grocery stores, where credit accounts were paid off each month, were replaced with the more modern supermarket chains. The Teeter brothers of Mooresville evolved into Harris Teeter in this way. By the 1970s, Salisbury-based Food Town, later to be called Food Lion, had spread across the Piedmont. Its principal founder, Ralph W. Kettner, had introduced discounting, reducing, the price of canned and packaged goods to make groceries more affordable to North Carolinians. His marketing strategy of LFPINC, lowest food prices in North Carolina, resulted in Food Lion becoming the largest grocery chain based in the state. The company operated more than 1,000 stores and became the largest private employer. Out in the country, the Crossroads store often closed when convenience marts were built nearby. Sometimes, families who had run the old country stores hung on until the elderly family member retired, as was the case in Shinville in Iredale County. As late as 1975, the third generation of Shins still sold everything from groceries to tools to overalls. The availability of automobiles to just about every citizen, combined with the expansion of the paved and multi-lane roads, ended the traditional small-town custom of house calls by physicians. In fact, as hospitals expanded in the cities, fewer and fewer physicians lived in the small towns. This was particularly a problem on the coastal plain, where a shortage of doctors occurred by the 1970s. One reason that a medical school was established at East Carolina University in Greenville in 1973 was the need to expand health care in the East. A key reason for the decline of small-town commerce, particularly in the East, was the loss of so many farms. Although a third of the state's residents were still involved in manufacturing, the number of farmers fell dramatically. By the end of the 1990s, only about 3 out of every 100 North Carolinians still farmed, compared with 1 in 2 at the end of World War II. Special feature: Carolina Places, Mayberry. Perhaps the best-known place in North Carolina is not actually in the state, but on television. Mayberry, North Carolina became famous because of the Andy Griffith Show, a 1960s comedy series. Since that time, the show has been rerun just about every day for a half century, courtesy of cable television. Mayberry was founded by North Carolina native Andy Griffith, who grew up in Mount Airy in Surry County. He attended the University of North Carolina in Chapel Hill, where he became interested in acting. Griffith also tried his hand at stand-up comedy. After teaching for a year at Goldsboro High School, Griffith hit the big time with a monologue titled, "What It Was Football." That was based upon the idea of a country boy coming to Chapel Hill for the first time. In the 1950s, Griffith did comedy in clubs and then began to get acting jobs. His next break was playing a naive mountain boy in the movie No Time for Sergeants. By 1960, Griffith had earned enough fame to have his own television show. In the show, Griffith portrayed Andy Taylor, the town sheriff. Griffith and a group of television writers, including Duke University graduate Harvey Bullock, created a mythical town full of characters that any North Carolinian would recognize as real. Otis Campbell, the Scots-Irishman who drank too much but had a heart of gold. Barney Fife, whose superstitious habits followed the traditions of Piedmont Germans, and Gomer Pyle, whose parents could have worked in the cotton mills, all rang true to viewers. One character in the show, Emmett Clark, was named for Griffith's childhood best friend. Part of the show's popularity was its sense of kindness toward all people, regardless of who they were. Mayberry was a place full of odd people who often did foolish and silly things, but no one ever hated them for their behavior or their weaknesses. Usually, a lesson was learned and a value taught, as in the episode when Opie, the sheriff's son, killed a bird with his slingshot. Opie had to learn to take care of the orphan baby birds and then let them fly away. The show even slyly called attention to race relations in the South. The show had no black characters, but in many episodes, black residents were on the streets. The closest real town to Mayberry in North Carolina is Mount Airy, which has proudly claimed its heritage as an inspiration of Andy Griffith's career. Visitors to Mount Airy can see a mock-up jail, a barber shop, and even the Snappy Lunch, a diner actually depicted in the show where Griffith ate as a child. Most folks who eat there have the Mayberry Special, a pork chop sandwich. Even into the 21st century, Mount Airy residents continue to visit their downtown, walking, talking, visiting, and even going to the movies on a weeknight. Mount Airy was honored in 2003 with a statue of Andy and Opie given to the town by the cable channel TV Land. Since then, residents have set up a museum full of artifacts from the show. Griffith himself went on to other television and movie roles. He came back to North Carolina when he retired, building a home in Manio. He died in July of 2012 at his Manio home.